À conversa no cais.
Esta semana fomos até à Suíça falar com uma velejadora ucraniana, a Alina Shapovalova, e falamos de começar aos 9 anos em Odessa, de andar com o pai de SB-20, de um clube bombardeado, de um treinador muito especial, do que se pode fazer para ajudar, de voltar a andar à vela em Odessa, da guerra, de 2 semanas terríveis, do clube Fralha Vela Riva, da Carmen e do Alberto Casco, do Jean-Claude Monin e da sua família, do clube DRCS, de desemprestarem uma casa, da família estar junta, de 8 mil euros, de estar pronta para tudo. A nossa convidada desta semana é a Alina Shapovalova. Bem-vindos à Conversa no Cais, o podcast do LX Challenge. Hoje fomos até à Suíça falar com uma jovem velejadora ucraniana, a Alina Shapovalova, que tem um grande sonho, que é ir aos Jogos Olímpicos. E vamos ouvir o que é que ela tem para nos contar. Hi, Alina.
Hello.
Welcome to LX Sailing, my podcast. And it's a pleasure, it's an honor to talk with you.
Thank you very much for me as well.
No, it's really a dream. So it's to share your vision, your passion about your dreams. Let's start from the beginning. Where and when you start sailing?
So my journey started when I was 9 in Ukraine, in Odessa. This is the port city on the Black Sea. And I started sailing because my dad was doing this for like a hobby for a few years.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was interested. I went with him in the club and we decided to try.
What kind of boats your dad sail, or just sail for fun only?
He sailed SB-20.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in the team, but I would say it was just for as a hobby, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But later it became more serious because later in the time we bought our own SB-20.
But,
yeah, but we can come to this later.
Yeah. No, it's fun because in Portugal we have a big community of people selling SB-20s in Cascais. And so, I don't know, maybe one day we can try to invite you to come here with your dad and sail here. So, all starting in Odessa with your father. And what's your first memory about sailing?
My first memory about sailing? I don't know, maybe that I was running in the yacht club to have training. And then, yeah, so 1 year we were literally living in the club. So we rented a house, like a camper, and we were living in the club. So I was every day there. I was sailing every day. I was on the beach every day, swimming, everything. This was, I don't know, one of the best times. But, you know, it's different every time of the life, but this was great.
You have great memories about it. But the first time you jump on a boat, you go on a boat, you sail, you immediately understood that is more than a hobby. That's something that you want to do it, try to do it even as professional maybe one day.
I think I would say I understood it when I started to compete in races. Because like this vibe, this like when you're in the race, this is something different.
No, I'm not talking about racing yet. I'm talking about your emotions. You told me that you like to swim. To sea is something that make you feel good. That's it. The sea environment and all related to water. It's something you appreciate a lot. And when was your trigger? Then you realize I want to go sailing more competitive, in a competition mood or a more competitive way.
No, as I said, when I started to sail regattas, when I felt this adrenaline, and I wanted more and more, and then I understood that. That maybe sailing is it's it's my life, or I don't know.
It's your life. And what you said, you start at 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock, sorry, 9 years old in Odessa. And when you start competing, immediately after that?
No, I think I start, like, you know, the small club regattas, maybe I started at 9, but more seriously, like, on Ukrainian championships, about 10 years, and already at 11, I started to go somewhere outside.
Your sailing club, you start, it's a sailing club, I suppose, it's or similar to a sailing club in Odessa. You remember your first coach and your first people you had fight again? Fight is not a nice word when you're talking to someone from Ukraine. Your people who are competing on the water, you have good memories of that time, those persons?
Yes, of course. My first coach was Alexei Kaplunov. Currently he's in Ukraine. Unfortunately, we don't see each other, but we text, we chat, we call each other.
He's still trying to put people on water, or unfortunately, he need to go to.
Yeah, he's still trying, even though my yacht club was bombed, so my sailing school was bombed last year, and like currently there is an empty space. So, but he's still trying to continue sailing in Ukraine, like on small rivers or somewhere on the small lakes, he tries to give this the same gift to me. Yeah, to share this love for sailing to other kids who might grow up.
He's not anymore in Odessa, because I think he's still in Odessa.
It's in the region of Odessa.
Okay. Let's keep it where he is by safety. Of course, we don't need to mention where he is. And how important was that coach in your life, in sharing his passion? Because Ukrainian people are very focused and very competitive normally, and how important he was in the process that you made from just go on a hobby to competition.
You know, he's even that he didn't study psychology, but he's very good psychologist. Like, he knows me very well. And he always knows what to do, how to help me, like with the mental side of the sport. And I think this is not less important thing than you know, technical knowledge, tactical knowledge.
Yes.
So yeah. He's good, very good in that. And I mean, as he know me. He knows me since I was a kid. I think this also plays a lot.
It's a lovely story. And until what age you sailed in Ukraine?
Until the war started, so until 2022.
2022, yes, 2 years ago. Yes, war will have 2 years of war in nearby days. Yes, and normally you sail in Odessa, or you start move to other places to sail and competing there while you are yet in Ukraine.
Well, like my home waters, I was still training there, but of course we started to go for competitions in the other countries. We spent a lot of time on Garda for trainings, for races, and
go.
We met a lot of great people, so like, and visited a lot of places with my dad.
How many kids that started with you at the same time? Let's say the youth national squad, let's call him something like that, still sailing.
Ukrainian, you mean?
Yeah, Ukrainian, yeah.
So, like from Odessa or overall?
From Odessa first and then overall.
Well, you know, it's really depends who could move from Ukraine later and who didn't. So the guys who could move, I still see them on the events, and very nice to meet your old friends, to talk to them, to ask how they are. And the guys from the Odessa region, you might also see in the results, it's Svetlana Donich and Dima Karabajak. He was second on the Radial World last year on the Youth World. So we sailed a lot together. They are very competitive and competitive sailors and very nice friends.
One thing is funny about you, it's all you, either you win or not. When normally all of your photos, pictures I saw of you, you are always smiling, and especially the I have that outstanding photo you have when you won the world championship here in Portugal. So you have a good history with Portugal, good relation with Portugal. You are so proud and so happy when you carry the Ukrainian flag and the Ukrainian number on your sail, and that time was difficult to find a boat to sail and so and so. And Carmen phoned me, and we find so many people helping you.
Yeah.
What's your feeling when you carry the Ukrainian flag nowadays? We carry a sail number from Ukraine. We sail. You say you are based now in Switzerland, but you travel a lot to try to compete and to try to go to Olympics. What's your feelings when you carry the Ukrainian flag and you're pushing, you have your country behind you?
It's I don't know even how to explain which word to use, but it's amazing because mentally that people are there in some people are still in Ukraine fighting for Ukrainian independence, and I'm here in the safety. What can I do for my country? I can do my best that all over the world, people see Ukrainian flag, and they still remember that in Ukraine there is a war. It's not over, even if in the news it's not mentioned that much. It's not over, and in this way, I'm trying to, to still keep an attention on that, not only on myself as a sailor, also on the country like it is, and on the situation.
To finish this chapter, because in reality it is an unfinished chapter, but you definitely believe that you're gonna sail again in Odessa with your daddy.
Yes, I really believe in that. But
We don't know when, but
Yes, exactly. This
we
I
don't.
know for sure that Ukraine will win. I know 100%. It's just a matter of time.
So let's now give a quick jump on time. So you start Odessa sailing with the Ukrainian team, sailing abroad. That is normal country. Then can the war knock your door, and you find a chance to move to Switzerland. You find a outstanding people from a great nautical club that welcoming you and your family. That's a lovely story, isn't it? It's more than a lovely story. It's amazing what all that community and that club made to give you an end to trying to keep you sailing.
This was, this was really lovely. Like, when when we were in this situation, when the war came, as you said, and I can tell you shortly the story how it was.
Yeah, please.
If you're interested. So like war started on 24th of February 2022. The day before war, 23rd of February, me and my dad flew in France for a competition. And then, you know, like after flight, we slept and then we woke up with this news. And then, yeah, it's absolutely crossed our plans. So my dad had to come back in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. I had to fly to Vienna, like to stay there with some people we knew.
Okay.
And, you know, these 2.5 weeks that I didn't see my family was, I don't know, maybe one of the hardest. Because there is not always an internet in Ukraine. You never know, like, what is going on. And then, finally, we met. And we went to Garda. Big thanks to Club Fraglia Valeriva, which helped us really a lot. And we spent there 2.5 months. So after being first girl on Garda meeting, I started to sail laser. It was May, beginning of May. And then we got a proposition from Carmen, Casco and Alberto.
Yeah.
Casco, so from the Swiss club DRCS. And we moved to Switzerland, where we are still living.
This question could sound strange, but you have already the idea to move to laser, or that happening?
Yes, we had an idea to move to laser in May, but you know, as I was always, let's say, top sailor in Ukraine, we were thinking maybe to go also on the Opti Worlds. But, you know, yeah. I was very big sailor. I was like 50, how much, 8 kilos.
You are too tall and overweight.
178 on Optimist, 56.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, kilos. And, but then... yeah, in the end, we didn't go. So I moved to laser. And, you know, as you see later, it was a really right decision.
Yeah, completely.
As when we see the results in Portugal and later. Basically, let's say, yes, we plan to move to laser.
Yeah, especially because all of your body structure is perfect for laser. You have the perfect weight, perfect height. So let's go back again. So we found Alberto or Carmen and Alberto. It's either we found the Casco family, and you moved to Switzerland. And I know if you want to share a little bit of story, because I love that story completely, but I want to hear from you. And they also find a solution to move your family there. That's really marvelous.
Yes.
Can you share us a little bit about that, please?
These people are amazing. Carmen and Alberto, they found us. They had a friend. So the family Monin also. I'm sure you know, Jean-Claude Monin. Eric Monin, the pro sailors.
See.
The family Monin gave us the apartment, so we're still living.
I know. So that in our days, that's so beautiful.
Yes.
It's so beautiful. Someone, I have an apartment. You can use it. It's really powerful. Touched by the heart completely. That's so beautiful. But sorry, go on.
yes. So I could we could move all together to Switzerland. So like this is so good, not to separate the family. So yes, here me, my parents, my sisters, my grandma, and yeah, what can be better? What can be more important in
yeah, than the family? Yeah, family is the center of everything at the end.
Totally.
This is lovely, lovely, lovely. So, and then you start competing for under Ukrainian flag, but training and all with all structure of the DRCS club.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
What are the main differences between what you had in Ukraine and what you found there? Mainly, you move from salt water to sweet water. It's a big difference. You move from the sea to training a lot in the lake. But what were at the time your first experience there, and how was your day or routine when you arrived to Switzerland?
So actually, when I arrived to Switzerland, Carmen asked me, "Do I want to go to Netherlands for regatta?"
Yeah.
And I said yes.
I remember that story. Wow.
Yeah. So literally, like in 1 or 2 days, I drove with a stranger for me to Netherlands. For regatta, and yes, they organized me everything, boat, even some sailing stuff, everything. This is incredible. And then when we came back, I started to work with a fitness coach, Leo Mishkovic from Croatia as well, and this also. This is the huge part of the sailing, the fitness, especially on laser. Big thanks for Leo for working with me. And so I started to do fitness a lot because I had a free time. It was summer. And I started to go with on the camps with the DRCS. So closest main event was Europeans in Poland, ILCA 4. In that time, it was a bit hard for me, the light wind, because, you know, I'm still used to the hiking, to the power.
Yes.
So I finished like 34 or something. Not very good, but I kept going. And already in Vila Moura in Portugal, I just said to myself, okay, I do my maximum. I don't know anyone there. I didn't know any of laser sailors, like not like an optimist. I don't know. We saw each other on every event. We were like friends. And then I was like, okay, I do my best. And then we see what will bring it. And I finished second on the worlds. I will never forget that regatta. This I'm sure.
That's it's a funny that the first time that Portugal crossed in your life, and I expect that you will have more opportunities. And since then, you still focus on laser, and now you are trying to. I think you have already the place for the Olympics, or you still looking for that place?
Currently, I'm still looking. So my first senior worlds were in Den Haag, in Netherlands. I finished in the gold fleet. My second senior worlds and also second Olympic qualification regatta were in Argentina this January 2024.
Mm-hmm.
This was a bit harder for me in the senior fleet to keep with the Olympians, with the top sailors of the world. In the strong wind conditions, so this time I did silver fleet, but I'm still looking forward for Greece for the senior Europeans and later for the last chance regatta. And yes, I you know, I'm not overthinking. I come as always. I do my best. I do whatever it takes. And then, you know, in the end, we will see. We'll analyze what we did good, what we did wrong.
There's one thing in life. It's almost a rule. You're always doing well. If you are pushing hard, you're doing your best. That's always a victory. But sometimes we can have others that are a little bit better than us that can help. But your story, it's a great story about someone who want to do it, and you are pushing hard to do it. And the good thing, okay, you want to try to these Olympics, but you are too young. You're going to have more opportunities for sure. And looking to the Olympics, I know Carmen phoned me. Then you need to find some, try to find some, let's say, some crowdfunding to support you in going and keeping the trying to go to the Olympics. So you need some support again with your budget. You need some yes. help. More or less, what kind of budget do you need to try to achieve that goal to go to these Olympics already?
Well, our plan was about 8,000 euros.
Okay.
For this season, so we can cover the expenses, the entry fees, the gasoline, the accommodation. But I want to say that this year Ukrainian Federation helps really a lot. But you know, there is still some expenses which need to be covered. So we're actively searching for sponsors, for the people who would like to help, who would like to be part of this story,
this journey.
Yes.
Do you still? I remember when after the World Cup, you have the club bank account, so people can send some donation there. Is still the same? Same number of counties, still same process, or it's another one?
Yes, so we have a club account, a club bank account, where people okay. can send. We have now opened crowdfunding on I Believe in You. Yes. You can just go on the website I Believe in You, write
you a link, and you send me the link when you finish, so yes. I can share the link with people.
Yes, and yes, or just contact me or the club, the DRCS yes. club, and we are absolutely open. We are very grateful if for the people who are ready to and open to help. And yes,
that's it. Look, Alina, looking for another angle and another chapter of our chat is the future. Imagine for something doesn't happen, you don't achieve to go to these Olympic Games. Your idea is still keep sailing and try to go to next ones.
Yes, absolutely. With my coach Damir, I'm ready for everything. Yes.
You are a fighter, definitely.
Yes, and with the support of the Swiss club, DRCS, Carmen, family Monin, and my parents, and the people who would financially like to support us, there is no barrier which would stop me or any of us.
That's wonderful. And let's now try to imagine we are in 2024. Now let's imagine we are in 2034 or something. Do you want to be a professional sailor? It's one of your goals, or or your goal is go to the Olympics, won a gold medal, and then that's enough for sailing?
No, I would say I want to be a professional sailor, but at the same time I'm interested in some business. I would like to have my own one. I still didn't decide what it's gonna be, but for sure I want to build
A
something.
business.
Yes, exactly. So will it be something with sailing or not? I will see. But yeah, sailing is definitely part of my life, which will not go away. And I want to try different classes, not only laser. I want to try sail GP, maybe America's Cup, maybe just for fun, some foiling. And
Yeah.
yes.
I will call my dear friend Luca Rizzotti to help you to help you in this foiling and go invite you to go to foiling week in Gard or something to you maximize your
Yes,
experience
well.
on foiling. That will be is a good friend, and it's a great person, and it's obviously it will be very keen to trying to help you as much as he can. And related to sailing, what's your dream? If you can choose one thing or two things, what's your dreams on sailing? Where you said, I have done, I have achieved. It's okay. One thing is going to the Olympics for sure. Okay.
Yes.
I believe the second one is won an Olympic medal. That's
Yes.
obvious. You are pushing so hard. But beside the Olympics and your medal, you have any kind of dream you want to share with us about your sailing dream? Because some people say, I want to do the cross Atlantic, the others say, I want to do Sydney over, the others. You have any kind of dream you can share with us?
Maybe, yes, I would like to buy a boat after some time and live my life already enjoying the nature. So I don't know, maybe it's gonna be a journey on the Greek islands, maybe it's gonna be something more. But I wouldn't say that it's a very big dream, but it's something
It's a
that,
dream.
yeah.
You are very young, and you come from a wonderful country. That's your background. You're Ukrainian. You come from a lovely country, very green with with mountains, lovely sea, and you are a sailor also. So you are very related and close to the natural elements. How the way we take care of our world with this pollution, this capacity of the humankind of about destruction, and everything is nature, we don't preserve more the world. How does that affect you?
I would say it's open eyes that
Yeah.
how important and expensive humans' life, that it's only one, and you I don't know, you don't have to spend it on something stupid like war,
Yeah,
like.
that I don't have any doubt. I am read somewhere only with the part of the people spend every day in Ukraine, in Middle East, we can solve almost what 90% of womankind problems about food, nutrition, health, and so on. So, but it's completely stupid. The war is most stupid, and plus it destroyed the nature, the environment, the elements, and that's that. Now to finish again, to move again, relate a little bit to Ukraine. You want to be, you have, if when it's possible, you want to try to help when Ukraine will be free again. Ukraine is free when you don't have, when we don't have people trying destroyed Ukraine. You wanna share what you learned about sailing your ski and trying to put young Ukrainian people to sailing again and try to do something there also?
Yes, absolutely. I would like to maybe build, I mean, at least to help build my school, sailing school, which will, because like, you know, after Russia destroyed my sailing school, what can I do? How can I help the kids love sailing? I will definitely do something. Will it be a sailing school for kids, or will it be a coaching, or will it be just a financial help? We'll see in the future.
No, that's a good problem. So, Alina, above all, thanks so much for your time. And personally, to me, it was a pleasure, a great pleasure to talk with you. And I will do once more the live commentaries of the sailing in the Olympic Games. And what I can promise you, I'm going to push hard for you. I will be live on doing commentaries on the laser. Ilka, now I will push you a lot, like you are a Portuguese, because you deserve it more than anything. So I don't know if you want to leave a message to everybody to close this, invite people to support you. You can leave the message if you want in Ukrainian, in English, wherever you want. It's up to you. Leave a message to everybody.
So yes, thank you. First of all, I want to say once more big thanks to my family, to the club, the DRCS family and family Casco and Monique. What can I say? You know this feeling when you know that you can do something and you are sure there is like nothing what can stop you and you feel it? And I feel myself like that every day. And Olympics, it's one of the...
one chapter.
Yes, it's a chapter currently. And I'm very grateful if you can help me to...
It's not me, it's everybody. It's not me. I will just try to share the message to the maximum.
Yes, I understand this. Anyway, and big thanks to you for this podcast. This is a big pleasure for me to have a conversation with you.
Alina, for me, it's more than a pleasure. It's a honor. And as I promised you, and when I talk with Carmen, I will try to share. I will publish this podcast tomorrow. So then I will share you the link. So share it with your friends in your Instagram, Facebook, wherever you have it. And I will ask Carmen and everybody to share your message. And we'll try to find a solution. We only need to find 8,000 people that give you €1 for now. That's what we want.
We don't need to find 1 million people. If we find 1 million people, we will be perfect. But if we find 8,000 people that give you €1, for now it's enough.
So Alina, thanks so much for your time. Kind regards to you and your family. And you can believe when you are sailing, in your boat, you have lots of people. That's someone you don't know, some others you don't know. They are pushing hard with you. So from my side, and I think from all Portuguese sailing community, thanks so much and hope to see you soon. Okay.
Thank you very much.
E assim chegamos ao final de mais episódio do A Conversa no Cais, podcast do LX Sailing. Para a semana, como habitualmente, cá estaremos com novos convidados.